Did I tell you? I don't think I told you.
I guess we're recording. I didn't see a finger. So.
That, well, I'll show you a finger.
Thanks, pal. You're always good for that.
Yeah. That Allison walked in the room the other day and said that she ordered my 1-year-old son a shirt that said, "I wish I was a little bit taller."
Oh, that's awesome. Like, he's going to get his wish, by the way.
I mean, I sure hope so. Yeah.
You were kind of diminutive back in the day, but you got
a little bit taller. I was not 1-year-old diminutive. I mean, except probably when I was...
When you were... Was one year old. I don't know. I went around.
Yeah, but anyway, like a little bit of the ski, like Skilo, kid clothes. Oh, so,
who knew he had the line?
Well, apparently.
So Miles turned one.
Yeah. So my youngest kid turned one. We did the obligatory like. So we did the thing where it's like you get this really elaborate.
You had a party at like a brew house, didn't you?
Well, it's a pizza restaurant that also is a craft brewery. Yeah. So. Anyway, so yes, kind of, but we went to Sugar Mama's, which is this Austin-based
whorehouse.
Yes, yes, or bakery.
That too. Yeah,
you got to learn sometime, son.
Exactly, son. It's about time you got a job and learned what. Anyway, so yeah. But the point is like so. We did this thing, and when my daughter was that age. We did kind of a similar deal where we got her, like, this big chocolate cake, and we set it in front of her. And literally, like, she just kind of picked at the icing.
Yeah.
And homeboy dove right in there. And,
yeah,
like,
I saw
some
aftermath photos on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. No, he got good and messy, which is really not interesting to anybody that's not in our immediate family, except for the fact that, like, it always makes me think of the fact that I wish that I would have had the wherewithal and, frankly, a digital camera. When I was that age, which would never happen for a variety of reasons.
Not digital cameras.
Yeah, no. What I wish is like that I still did on every birthday like a big messy face picture, no matter what my age is, and just sent it to my parents. Like,
yeah, you're kind of stepping on my punchline. I was going to say nobody really appreciates it when I do that these days.
Yeah, but, no, yeah. It's true. But anyway, yeah. So. Lots to talk about this week. Shane is not, I mean, he's not infirmed. He's just not here.
He's got what, like a Thanksgiving preparatory syndrome?
I don't know.
Like
I just figured he had to, like.
Most people call it packing.
Yeah. Yeah. I just figured tonight was the night he counted his cats. So.
Well, it's an ever-shifting number, so they got a new kitten.
Oh, of course. So yeah, it'd be like what, 13 one. And a half, whatever the number.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. He's definitely part crazy cat lady.
Anyway, before we get into it. I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.
Adele has dropped a new record, and apparently, like, a number of pounds as well.
Well, and to good. Be fair, several people around the country have picked it up.
Well, that also seems...
Well, no, she... Well,
when she dropped her record, other people have picked it up and paid money for it.
Yes.
So apparently it's, yeah, it's all the zeitgeisty thing right now and the popular culture. I don't really know a whole lot about Adele. I'm not really her... target market, but she
I don't
seems,
think any of us are.
She like, seems pleasant enough.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, yeah, breaking all kinds of crazy records, and as is Justin Bieber, but we won't get into that.
I did see, and we won't rehash all of this, except for a little bit, that, Mark, did you see the Adele-related SNL sketch that ran this past weekend?
Bringing families together at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everybody who, like, when you get thrown together with your family who, like, you don't get along with, and then
there was like a little girl who just hits play on a cassette tape or something,
and then
like
everybody would, like, immediately get hypnotized by the song, and then as the video, like, as the segment goes on, it's like they start to look more like her, and everybody's got wind blowing through their hair all the time, like. Anyway, it's quite something. So if you get
some
a chance
quality
to
entertainment,
hit the YouTubes, I hear
anyway,
that it's on there.
So Adele has put out a single called Hello, and it sounds more than a little like a Lionel Richie song from the 80s of the same name. And so, you know, I'm flipping through good old Facebook the other day, and I guess you had posted it?
No, Allison posted it on my...
But one of those meaty things.
Pills, yeah.
And it was like...
just a mashup.
Exactly how it was phrased, but it was like, you know, Dels...
Here, it was something like...
The song comes out, and I'm like, hello? There's a big picture of Lionel Richie.
Yeah, and it's like the, like, sort of the soft light pose of Lionel Richie.
What's that? Wait, so. Now have you seen the video? I thought you were bringing up the video.
Oh, no.
There's a mashup video of Adele and Lionel Richie saying hello to each other.
This is what we should do. Okay, so Shane was supposed to have the new song this week. That's what we should do for it, is that mashup.
I mean, it's pretty short, but we can do that.
Yeah, we'll do that in Shane's stead, because I've got middle locked down.
Sure. Lock it down, Ryan.
Done.
Good. Anyway... but yeah, hello is everywhere and everywhere still. I mentioned this last week, and I don't remember whether I mentioned it at the tail end of the podcast or I mentioned it after we went off, we'd stopped recording. And I think it maybe was after we stopped recording, so I'll share it now. I have just started a book, essentially about kind of the behind the scenes mechanics of what they call the Hit Factory, which is... there is a sort of, the guy who wrote this book compares it a lot to, like sort of snack food technology. It's like they find the pleasure centers of the brain and certain pop songs are constructed in such a way to be earworms.
That is both not surprising and highly depressing.
I know. Yeah, I know. I feel the same way, and I had a feeling you might say that, but yeah, it's really sort of fascinating and kind of what starts the... I'm not very far into the
book. Reading that book and not writing it.
No, I'm reading it. Yes, because clearly I control the pop industry. Yeah. No, the guy who wrote the book has written for The New Yorker. I think it's The New Yorker, but it might be The New York Times. Anyway, I'm barely into it, but he talks about in the first chapter that his... son, he basically got in the car one day with his son, and his son had changed all his presets, and so he was like, "My original."
This wasn't like a your son aged kid. This was somebody.
No,
who
this was like his son was like probably, you know, whatever, like a tween,
yeah, like 12 or something.
Right, at that age where you're like really starting to make solid, like form things that last. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he was like, if I had done that in my dad's car, my dad would have just switched all the channels back. And he's like, but now I'm the dad. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll just be open to a new experience. And he was like, none of this was like my music. But he's like, the longer that he just left them on there, mm-hmm. like the presets on there. And the impression that I kind of get where this particular beginning is going is that he like, it kind of flipped the light off in this writer's brain. Like, oh, there are mechanics and
this
sort
is
of
a formula.
There's science behind mm-hmm. this. And so anyway, I think that on some of the stuff like the Adele stuff, there is science behind that. That said, the record that we're going to talk about today,
I don't think it necessarily falls
not that,
in that category.
Does not necessarily fall in that category. And I am this week was mine to choose, and I choose this week. And
the grand sweeping gesture. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Where's my organ music?
You will all listen to a record of my choosing.
I am choosing the record. So anyway, yeah, no, I picked the first American Tahiti 80 record, which
it's
is called Puzzle.
Choice.
It's called Puzzle.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so. This band is interesting because one of the things that sort of originally stuck with me is that, like, and we have talked about this before on this podcast, it's like I mentioned when we did, like, sort of one of the little potpourri, like, mixtape recordings, and I trotted out the Space Hog single. I was like, you can just tell upon listening to that single that was everything that Bad Hand had to offer. Like, that was like, this is their, We're gonna hit a mammoth home run and then strike out for the rest of our careers. Like, to use the baseball analogy, like that's exactly
they
what
would
that
probably
was.
Disagree with you, but that I don't think that's that far off.
Well, musically, artistically, like I feel like, I mean, if not empirically true, it's certainly.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't listened to their whole album, and
yeah,
assume I assume they have more than one.
Yeah. So anyway, but like you take something like that and you, and in my opinion, you listen to it and you're like, okay, this is a band that like clearly had one formula and then they sat around and went, oh yeah, we don't really know anything else. And so that's that vaguely European accent. With this band, this first record came out and I heard a lot of it sort of like through alternative sources, not necessarily radio, but what I heard of it, I really connected with. And I was like, this is cool and fun. And then you and I actually caught these guys at Emo's Inside.
Was this on this tour?
It was on this tour. And talked to him for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought that it, like, I was like, this is really great. Like, I really had a lot of fun at that show and I dig that record a lot, but, which we'll get into more. And,
yeah, solid record.
Yeah. Like, and, I guess the thing that I did not necessarily, realize, and I think that this informs a little bit of, like, some of the reviews that I read that came out at the time. And then also, certainly some of the sound, which was that, there were members of Fountains of Wayne that contributed
to
this
pop
record.
They're very pop.
Yeah. And it was also mixed in Sweden by a Cardigan. So it's like you hear a lot of...
A
like,
sweater?
Yes, by an actual sweater with a
sentient... That's so French.
A sentient sweater. Yeah. No, well, and here's the other thing, too. So, yeah, so I think that shit is fascinating. We ought to talk about it. But the other thing that I think is particularly interesting, and I didn't find this in a review, but I remember reading it around the time that this record came out, which was that, like, we were talking about, there was a lot of talk about how these guys went to, like, I think a number of them met at, like, American University in Paris. Don't quote me on that, but, like, what I remember was
just
that,
quoted
like,
yourself.
Was there, well, kind of, yeah, which I guess is just saying things twice. Yeah. But, but anyway, like, but what I remember was that they, that a number of them had intentionally sort of gone to American schools with the idea of putting this record, and they sang in English, and so the idea was they're going to put this record out for, to sort of conquer America, and the record sounds totally French.
Oh, well, big time.
Totally,
yeah.
French.
Like, yeah, if you're going for, like, you know, to sound American, you did not make it.
Well, right. Or, yeah, maybe you made it to Montreal.
I mean, like, they made it about to Glasgow. They made it about to Glasgow because it kind of reminds me of Belle and Sebastian a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, like, I could see some of that.
Like, it, I mean, it's not as twee or
right.
precious, but
right.
it's definitely, it doesn't rock.
No, yeah.
There's a moment or two with, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it, and it's sort of like, yeah, like, it's not crafted that way. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of sort, like, it just is one of those records where I feel like you... the influences that you have
it sounds
that are
like,
innate.
I don't know if any of these were art majors, but it sounds like you know, this band met at a French art school and made a band.
Yeah.
Perhaps they should have gotten a parka to mix it.
Yeah.
Was that a cardigan? Sure. Is that a cardigan joke?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah. All right. Well, do you guys think we ought to listen to one?
Well, the one that stood out to me, it turns out I was just reading their good old Wikipedia. The one that I kind of latched onto was Heartbeat.
Yeah, Heartbeat was the single. I mean, it was like sort of the one that they...
And if I'm not mistaken, it uses the adjective form of, fucking in like a really kind of cute way.
Okay. Well, why don't we listen to a little bit of Heartbeat then?
Enough for me is not much for you. Won't you forgive me? That's all I can do. Can you feel my heart beat when I'm close to you? Oh, 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 oh. Can you feel my heart beat when I'm close to you? Forgive me, that's all I can.
like this song. This was this ends up third on the album, and I was just saying while we were listening to it that it was when this song came on that I was able to kind of put away these thoughts that somehow John Mayer was involved in this album, because the first two just kind of felt a little bit too...
Well, there's kind of a gauzy, like, you know, white bread, yo-girl thing going on.
Well, yeah, there's kind of
and
that,
the French version of that, which
there's
is
a little bit of that throatiness on the first couple of songs that you hear from John Mayer. So
I will say that, like, Xavier Boyer, I believe his name is the lead singer. His delivery is like kind of breathy and a little and fey, like definitely that, like it's definitely that. So I mean, like, yeah, you
this
certainly
not kicking anybody's ass.
No, yeah,
they're not good songs, but like they're not kicking anybody's ass.
They're not kicking anybody's ass. And one of the things that I, you know, well, that when Mark mentioned that when we were listening to that track, that like that was originally like kind of your impression, one of the things that I said at the time was like, oh yeah, well, Ryan and I did actually catch these guys. We saw them years ago, like when
at Emo's, which was at the time
Emo's
like
Inside,
the,
which is like
punk venue in town.
Yeah, this grubby little like acoustically
disgusting bathrooms,
yeah, like acoustically like gnarly room. One of the things that occurred to me is that, like the drummer for this band plays a stand up snare live, and so like and really wailed on it. Like essentially, like it was a very simple setup from what I remember.
I thought they had like the whole rotating drum kit, you know, where it does like the.
It was not
the
spirit.
That wasn't them.
It was not a Neil Peart situation.
Okay.
Different.
This
is the opposite of that. Neil Peart, if you put that kid in front of Neil Peart, he'd be like, "Where's the rest of it?" And also, I have to write some weird shit. Yeah. So, but anyway, but yeah, in person, like they put on a really fun, definitively French, but very.
Yeah,
like,
I remember it being a fun show. Like both of those shows were good shows that day. And our friend Bankson was with us, I think, and he had a great time at both of them.
Enemy did cover this album, so it says this was their characterization of this record, which I thought was kind of funny. Cheerfully purveying hoolishly warm melodies as though supplying balms for the blighted. That's the first sentence of the...
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, it just basically means that, like, if you're having a hard day, these guys will smooth
these guys
out.
Will, like...
Like lip balms?
Yes,
perk you up.
Perhaps.
Oh,
perhaps,
and by the way, yeah. I think I introduced...
Maybe a salve?
I think before we went into this
like
song...
A salve.
Yeah. I think before we went into this song, I said it uses fucking the adjective in a really sweet way, but it turns out, Mark points out it was forgive, which makes more sense if they're trying to push it to radio.
They're very close, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And it's also French, and so, anyway, I'll get to that. So it says, Tahiti 80 seemed to reside in a realm of bounteous solar radiation and swimming pools overflowing with pink champagne, where mint royales don't falter is on heavy rotation and Burke Bacharach threatens to pop in for an impromptu greatest hit set. Now, I think that's like a little snark, like a little
snarky. It's a little music journalist, music writer cutesy, but it's actually not that far off.
Yeah, it says, enhanced by Xavier Boyer's airy, whispery vocals, and yeah, by the fact that he's named Xavier, Puzzle is slap happy with gloopy, sweet romanticism. Thankfully, this is more absurd than mawkish, made even better by the fact that Tahiti 80 are French people singing in English and therefore do not always make sense.
totally fair.
Which I think is really kind of great. There is another track that I think that we can't not play, and this one I think is both like kind of, it's funny because it is a little bit, it's lyrically, it's a little clunky. And that's the sort of French English thing, but also, I think lyrically it's also a little great. And I think it's frankly kind of a fun song, which is, Mr. Davies.
Mr. Davis lives in a big house in the town called L.A. He drinks champagne for breakfast in his swimming pool. He has a sister named Victoria. She live somewhere in Australia, to visit her, it takes private jet. He's now a gifted pilot, but he doesn't care for his brother. No more place in his picture book. And he gives me complexes, because he's considered a songwriter, and I'm not, because he's considered a songwriter, and I'm not.
Because he's considered a songwriter and I'm not at this time.
I can't tell if he's taking more of the piss out of the Kinks or himself.
I mean, I think this kind of a, is it poetic irony? I mean, what is this?
I mean, so I kind of feel like maybe it is, but I also feel like this is a guy who, like, to what we talked about earlier, you have all your life to really come out with your first record of material, and they did put out something in France before then, so who knows, maybe
it was like an EP or something, though. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, but the point is like I kind of like the idea, is that, like, basically it sounds like he's just he's like positioned, the protagonist in this song is positioned as a big Kinks fan, and he's like essentially just vomits out all of these facts about Ray Davies. He doesn't like his brother very much.
Air quotes facts.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, he has, you know, a house in L.A. and drinks champagne for breakfast. We don't know that that's necessarily
true. Yeah, I don't think that anybody
might have a
considers
house in L.A.
Anyway, I guess the point is like, I think that that song is both, like, just catchy as hell. Like, I just enjoy shit out of it.
Terrific song.
Yeah, but it's also kind of hilarious. Like,
a little lyrically complicated.
And it's the perfect length. It's just shy of 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You don't get tired of it?
Nice, crafty little pop song.
Well, right. And then, and it's like, and it kind of takes you on a little journey. It's like, here's this, like, so, you know, Mr. Davies, like, essentially it sounds like from afar.
Well, apparently, the way that goes shopping with Charlie Watts.
Well, the way that I interpret this song is, like, from afar, he is an up-and-coming songwriter, and he has essentially studied Ray Davies, or Davis, the guy from the Kinks, as a means to, improve his craft,
and he feels like he comes up lacking.
And he's like, I'm not there yet. And then at the same time, it's like all sort of the guts of this, like, really sort of affectionate, like really listenable song. So anyway, I enjoy the shit out of that one.
I was
and
really wanting
also
to fact check everything about, like, his sister living in Australia. And I mean, I guess we do know that he doesn't talk to his brother much anymore. But.
Well, yeah, they apparently are not good pals. But anyway, yeah, so that it's a fun one, and kind of one of those songs that's, like, sort of a nice little change of pace that every record should have, and not all of them do. The songs that I really like on this record remain fun to me, and one of the things that has happened here in Austin over the past few weeks is, like, it's just been, we just kind of gotten kind of a little bit of a cold snap. It's been a little bit dark, and so I wanted to share something that I thought was a little summery, and I definitely think you
it
can make the argument that this is a little summery. I don't know how we're doing on time, but it might be worth taking a few minutes with.
We are going to be taking a few minutes with. Few minutes with I picked this week a little bit as an antidote to, I mean, it's not metal or anything, but it definitely rocks more, but a little bit of an antidote to Heady 80. I picked a Radiohead song that Kevin turned me on to and actually described the video to me before I ever actually saw it, and it delivered.
I think I know what this might be.
It's Just.
Yeah.
And it's from The Bends, where they kind of turned the corner and became an excellent band.
Well, and we'll talk about this more after we listen to the track, right? But
yeah,
but I do think that, like, that's a situation where a band, you and Shane especially, are unified in the fact that you didn't like that first record, and then they turned into
it seemed like rote, you know, alternate rock that was on the radio at the time, and
yeah,
and I think the band kind of disavows that record a little bit.
Yeah,
Pablo Honey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do it.
So this is Just by Radiohead. that may be one of my, well, it's not maybe, it is one of my favorite songs of all time, and maybe my favorite video of all time.
No, it's great. It's so great. And I was tempted to just lay down on the pavement and record the rest of this segment.
You still can if you want to. It might be a little chilly.
I might. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's down there. I see a bug. So I probably won't do it. But anyway, because of one fledgling bug. Anyway, but the interesting thing is like the way that they...
That bug is coming into its own.
it's look for that. That bug's going to be huge one day. Huge.
It's real up and coming.
Huge, I tell you.
Anyway, the point is like explain the plot of the video for anybody who wasn't around.
For some reason, there's a bathtub in the beginning of it that doesn't seem to be germane. And
you know what? The
video.
Funny thing is, like, I didn't remember that part at all. Like, yeah. The exposition on this video, I didn't remember at all.
And like, it split between the band playing in some sort of loft and rocking out, and Thom Yorke doing his typical gyrating. But no, there's like a businessman who's clearly having a rough time, and he's
a bad go.
Yeah, he's just learned something evidently pretty devastating, so he decides to lay down in the middle of the sidewalk.
So devastating that he can't stand anymore, even though he's not drunk.
Yeah, well, another gentleman trips over him, and he's like, oh, I didn't see you there, I'm sorry. This is all, what's the word?
It's
subtitled.
Yeah, subtitled. Yeah. Yes, thank you. In old font, too, like in like typewriter font. But
Courier.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Courier?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, geek. anyway, so this keeps happening. Like, you know, the guy keeps pestering him, like, you know, what's going on with you? Are you drunk? No. Why are you laying there? And so, you know, it becomes a spectacle. All these other people show up and start asking him, like, what's going on? And he's like, you don't want to know.
Which, of course, only makes it worse.
Like, yeah, and like, it, you know, intrigue. You know, everybody's, like, you know, a crowd gathers. A cop comes by, and they're like, officer, please do something. And, you know, they finally, you know, he's like, look, you really don't want to know. But they finally manage to get it out of him. And he's like, God help us all, but here it is. Which they don't share with us.
That's not subtitled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the band, meanwhile, is playing upstairs with an open window.
Yeah, and they look out the window after he's told them what he's just found out, and everybody around him is now laying on the sidewalk.
Yeah, including the cop.
Including the cop. Yeah. Whatever the information was so ridiculously devastating that they all had to lie down in the middle of the pavement, too.
Yeah. Anyway, and, it's just it's one of those deals where it's like it's so, like, sort of – now that you sort of know the – story behind Radiohead, and like that's my favorite Radiohead record, bar none. Like, yeah.
So what
the
band's
an
okay
computer. They hit it out of the park both times.
Yeah.
As far as I'm sure.
So what he actually said was that there's a band called Nickelback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't lay down on the ground, you're going to hear them in your head forever.
Oh yes. Or hello.
Yes. Or
we'll be getting to that.
But anyway, yeah, no, thanks for sharing that, Ryan. Like,
it's fantastic.
It is a little bit, it does rock more than what we've been listening to.
Yeah.
But I also think that, like, it just as like sort of the art of the video goes, like, that's one of the best narratives that's ever been put together around.
Came up with that, like, you know, brownie button. Like, gold star.
Yes. I hope that's exactly what they got paid, was a brownie button and a gold star.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that, you know, they at least gave him scale.
Sure. But. Anyway, yeah, so should we get back into it?
I reckon we should.
All right, let's come out on the other side. Okay, so... Pitchfork didn't actually review this record, but they did review subsequent...
Was Pitchfork around at this point?
Probably not.
This came out in, what, 98, 99?
Something like that. Yeah. So, but they did review subsequent albums, and I thought that, their version of painting the backstory of Tahiti 80 was actually pretty interesting in the way that they worded it. And so I want to share a little bit of that. And they said... just like the daintily wrapped pseudo-gourmet brie, there you go, Ryan,
We literally have brie on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, stocked on the Safeway shelf near the Kraft Singles and Shredded Cheddar, Tahiti 80's creamy, dreamy delicacies are manufactured for easy export. Xavier Boyer and his gang of merry Parisians embody that quintessentially Gallic combination of elan and anyway, vigor and boredom. Those
was that ennui? You mean
ennui? I'm sorry. Yeah, whatever. I'm here. Those seemingly antithetical traits that the French can so easily capture with the slightest Galloise punctuated gesture or well placed Camus quotation.
Why is it that it seems that all of the Tahiti 80 reviewers want to just use like really
flowery prose?
Flowery prose.
Well,
yeah,
they do
big
sound.
Words.
They do sound super French. Like, and this is like this is
Is there a straight ahead, not tongue in cheek review of them that exists? I mean, it probably wouldn't be as much fun.
Probably these days, but what I have found just from reading some of the stuff that I've read, even of records that weren't this one from this band, is that like now they get compared less favorably to acts like Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix.
Yeah. So like
Phoenix is French, right?
Yeah, they're French, and so like yeah, bands that have broken big that are that are based with
more
in France,
and Phoenix, to be fair, is more energetic, you know, and
they're less
dancing.
French.
Well,
they're less French. Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's like they're just more successful, and so these guys have been around longer, and so one of the reviews that I read basically put out the idea that these guys have been like they make good indie pop songs. They really appeal to their like, and maybe this is like sort of maybe I'm one of those guys, like they appeal to their base just enough to where like you're going to be curious enough to pick up the next record two or 3 years.
They don't have to have day jobs, but nobody's getting rich.
Yeah, like it's like they're comfortable. Like they're not.
It's not buying a bad
yachts,
gig if you can get it. Yeah,
yeah.
And I feel like when we saw them at Emos that time, like it was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I remember we chatted those guys up for a minute after the show was over, and like it was fine. Like there was. Yeah. It was interesting for me, even though it's been a long time since that night took place, just to have sat in and watched these sort of guys play this grubby little room and like essentially play it the same way that they played all their other stuff, I assume. And so, yeah, it was like this kind of cool little, you know, up-tempo, summery French show in a shitty,
breezy.
Like, yeah,
I mean,
like,
you know, I wouldn't be as much of a music lover as I am if it weren't for bands like this or bands like Self, you know, that
kind of bubble a little bit under the radar,
you know, and they write good stuff and yet they don't reach that pop stardom that tends to dilute their creativity.
I mean, like I've said before on the show, I'm sure, like what a huge 80s REM fan, and I got into them right around when they were kind of breaking through to that next level, and it definitely diluted whatever magic they had before.
Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to, I guess, it is difficult to catch. You can't, zeitgeist doesn't last forever. Like,
true enough.
Sharing one more little bit from this Pitchfork excerpt where I was talking a little bit about really kind of like sort of what their take on the overall art, like feel of this band is. I thought their characterization was pretty interesting, and also wanted to share this other little bit. It says, while Tahiti 80 are certainly beholden to the great bubblegum symphony conductors like Brian Wilson and Van Dyke Parks, their streamlined packaging and electronic frills also resemble FM radio champs like the Cardigans and the Beautiful South. Some of that, like...
Wow, I haven't thought of the Beautiful South in a long time. They have a song that I love that was on a CMJ compilation. But yeah, I can definitely see that parallel.
Okay, well, maybe we need to do it. Maybe we need to roll in a Beautiful South expose at some point. But
one of these days, for sure.
But anyway, yeah, I do think that some of that is like, that's reviewer noodling. Like, that's just like, that's somebody showing like how many CDs he's reviewed at some point or another. But I do think that, like, generally speaking, my concern was when I first looked at the All Music roll-up for this, and it was like, you know, give or take, like, high 60s, low 70s in terms of, like, overall favorability for what these reviews looked like for this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I kind of get it. Like, it's not designed to challenge the listener. Like, it's a pleasant record.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a certain type of Camaro driver that would hate this record.
Just a certain type of Camaro driver.
Yeah,
and ironically, that Camaro driver might also hate the Just from Radiohead.
That's probably true, because it doesn't rock all the way through.
It does not. Yeah, it does not rock with Reckless Abandon.
You said this came out 98, 99. Is that right?
I actually think maybe it came out early aughts.
Early aughts.
This band formed in 98 or 99.
Because they've got some use of autotune in there, which that surprises me if it's that early, because it seems to kind of predate.
Yeah, no, I want to say, honestly, Mark, I think that it's like
1999, Puzzle.
What, okay.
99?
So, I mean,
okay.
Yep. So, yeah, this that is does predate a lot of I mean, obviously more hip-hop use of autotune and that.
Well, autotune
that
originally
type.
Was just meant as like a pitch corrector, right?
Right, but
you weren't supposed to notice it.
You weren't supposed to notice it, and it was in use. I mean, when I recorded my CD in 94, 95, you know, we had an auto-tuner in there, but we, you know, we used it just enough. But, you know, in this, they actually crank it to that point where you can hear that pitch shift happen.
Is that what the thing in Heartbeat is? It sounds like
yes.
Okay, I thought it was like an analog keyboard, but that's actually autotune?
It isn't actually an autotuner that they're processing
really
the voice through.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Like that. Like I think all that stuff is kind of fascinating, and I don't know. Like I said, this record makes me happy, and
yeah, it's hard to frown while listening to this.
Yeah. So. For sure. So one of the things that I remember from that show that we saw, Ryan, was that they did sort of an extended version of one of the tracks that ends up on this record or ends up on an extended version of this record, where they really let the guy, like, and I remember he was like this giant Gaul, like this super big French bearded guy on the stand-up snare, and they played a extended version of a song called Love from Outer Space, and mostly it's this guy like just going off in extended version, and it was pretty memorable to see live. But it's not that, like, the version that they actually laid down and put on the record I think is pretty interesting as well. So maybe let's do a little bit of that.
Let's get into it.
That track, more wiggity or more whack?
More loungy.
Oh yeah, okay. Also loungy.
Not
yeah.
a lot of wiggity or wackity.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense.
That is a chill song.
Yes, it is.
If you wanted to decompress after a night of, you know, whatever, that one might do it for you.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I do think there's something to be said for ascribing to being poolside, and like maybe that's a. It feels like it's a little poolside.
Yeah, I mean, you
pool
can have
table,
poolside.
You know, just kind of relaxing. You don't have a care in the world. You're drinking something that's pink for some reason.
Right. Well,
yeah,
and that,
yeah, there is a pink drink there.
Yeah, there's a pink drink.
Anyway, yeah, maybe that would be like if we did the extended version of this podcast. It'd be like, what would be the name of the cocktail that you would drink poolside while you were listening to this Tahiti 80 album?
Well,
like,
and you're giving me homework.
That would be
now,
the
yeah.
name of the podcast.
Well, no, I think that if we thought about it before right now, like that, maybe that would be
this band should have a signature cocktail.
A signature cocktail, right? Yeah, exactly.
Called the Tahiti 80.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, we haven't mentioned this. The name of the band comes from a tourist T-shirt. That
I guess yeah, one of the members' father
yeah
got in Tahiti in 1980.
Yeah. And I was like, actually, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and you and I are both Ryan. You and I are both professed suckers for like a little bit of like that 70s, like a little bit of the 70s sound. Like,
well, which we kind of went over with the Steely Dan, the much maligned Steely Dan episode.
Sure.
But yeah, there's a loungy thing that I can kind of get into. It involves shag carpeting for some reason.
Well, I mean, they're pulling in things like wah pedals and some flanger and stuff, some effects that were pretty overused, I think, in the 70s. And I think maybe that's where that vibe comes from.
Well, and it almost seems like there's a bit of reappropriation. You know, it's not Joe Walsh, wow, wow, wow. You know, it's chilled. You know, it's a low-key kind of situation.
All right, guys. So
we're going to hit one more. Like,
yeah, we're
like
going to hit one more.
The poppiest thing on the record.
Yeah, so maybe a little bit of, like, before, and actually on our way out to the last track that we'll play, our last segment, let's do, why don't we do Easy Way Out, because I feel like that's another change of pace song on this record.
I call your name, but you never answer. You bend your head and run away. If it's not true, I wish it were. Cause we still talk, but it's even worse. You don't even dare to look into my eyes. In the past, we used to talk for so many hours about things that only we could understand. Now I wish I could forget all this by closing my eyes. It never happens this way.
So I really like this song. This Easy Way Out, also one of my favorite Kevin Costner films.
Yes, and very similar.
Yes.
I mercifully don't know what you're talking about.
Ryan's like, man, this song is poppy. It's very poppy. And then at one point or another, I looked around the room and
we were
both
all
of you guys,
head bobbing. We were all back
our
and
heads
forth.
Were moving around. Yeah.
It's like involuntary response.
Kind of, yeah.
It's
Pavlovian.
It's quite appropriate for a mid to late 80s NBC sitcom intro.
Oh, yeah, like
music.
I was saying, yeah, like My Two Dads, or you're saying like a reboot of Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
Which actually was an ABC sitcom.
Oh, sorry.
But yes, this would have gone over really well with network execs at a certain time and a certain genre of.
But it's happy.
Sitcom.
I mean, I think you know, it's not at the end of the album, but I think it does sum up the kind of the vibe of this whole album. You know,
it's a cheery record.
It's a cheery record and summery, as Kevin has brought up. And I think that this is just a very cheerful kind of skip through the park kind of song.
And I could see how, like, I mean, like the instinct
skip through the park, like. Do people do that and
maybe not
get committed?
Right, exactly. Well, officer, he was skipping. I think that generally speaking, when it comes to this record, like it's hard to be unaffected positively by it. Like you listen to it, it's a fun, infectious, like poppy record without being like. I mean, it's saccharine, but it's not.
Yeah, it's a little wispy, you know. But like
it's. Yeah, and Faye, but it's not sugary in a super processed pop kind of way.
That is true.
So the fact that we...
It ain't Britney Spears.
Or Adele.
Or Adele.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, when you were in The Wizard, we took a little advance screening of what we're about to be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. We should totally do that. So anyway, before we get there, thanks for letting me indulge you guys. This record, the funny thing is like that I haven't talked about is that, so with some of these albums, it's like when they have been out for a while, I kind of like expect that some of them would have been well reviewed. There'd be a lot of background material, but there's not always. And so you, in this case, like you have this.
I think this record came out just before the internet kind of exploded with information about every new record that came out.
Well, and what I have, I believe that's probably true. And then also, there were a lot of records that came out around this time that I believe that like those, that initial material has just been cycled out on the sites that like keep those reviews. They don't keep them forever. And so like,
I guess there's not a CMJ archive, is there?
Maybe Chad would be Chad Twiatecki,
he wrote for
ex-journalist,
CMJ.
But, who's been on the show would probably know that well. Clearly he is not here tonight, but we will, let's ask. My guess is I'm not going to count on any of it that's not there, but I do think that like,
I'm fairly certain this record was reviewed because CMJ was still an extant publication and this was right in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. Anyway, it's something that always puts a smile on my face, and even if I don't have a convertible and the weather's not outside is not good enough to ride with the top down, you know, stuff like this, you put on just the right track.
You
and
have
right,
had a,
you
a,
don't
had a
convertible have a
before.
Convertible, but the weather's not.
Well, Kevin had didn't you have a Jeep back in the day? That's technically
all
a convertible.
Right, all right, here, come on, semantics. But, here's what we're doing.
But it's not Jeep music either.
So the point is. If you wanted to feel the wind in your hair and do a summer type record, this would be a good place to start no matter what time of year it was. That's all
but
I'm
this
saying.
Is more
That's
like
all?
A Volkswagen Cabriolet kind of record rather than like a
now
Porsche.
Now you're doing like the Nick Drake ads. Like that's not.
And I think you'd need some fruit stripe gum.
All right. Now you guys are kind of kicking my ass. So
why don't we
just
let's move forward into the next phase.
Why don't
of the
we
show.
Yeah, why don't we move into A Current Affair? And as we've teased already, we're going to touch a little bit on Adele
and
her
then...
new spike in popularity with Hello. However, we're going to look at it from a couple of different angles. I will just mention
like
that
point counterpoint.
I will just mention that for our listeners, this is one time where it may be more paramount for you to actually go out and seek out the videos.
You definitely need to look it up.
All right. So here's some stuff on Adele for A Current Affair.
Hello.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for? My dreams, I've kissed your lips thousands times. I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted. And my arms are open wide. Cause you know just what to say. And you know just what to do. And I want to tell you so much. I love you.
Well, hello.
Sorry, I was looking everywhere. I didn't see you there.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Was it me you were looking for, Kevin?
I was just looking over there, and I just saw Mark's bicycle, and then now I totally see you.
You're totally zoned in now?
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned this, but, like, Mark, I really enjoy your giant inflatable turkey.
Thank you.
Yeah, it
thank,
needed to be
thank
said.
My wife, actually. My wife has decided that we will
every
have,
single
we will have
holiday.
It's beyond holiday at this point. We are going to have an inflatable a month.
Dude, I'll bet your neighbors think you guys are so weird.
I think it's kind of great.
What Christmas is going to end up looking like a nightmare.
What I always kind of want to do is park on the street and then get out of the car in like some like big like World War I glasses and then run at that turkey as hard as I can. And I haven't quite done it because usually I've got...
No, it looks like it would be fun to dive into.
Kind of.
Well, yeah. And actually had Samuel... kind of go into town on it the other day.
Mark's younger.
Touching it.
How old is Samuel?
He's three and a half. Well, almost four now. But yeah, he was punching it in the eye and tackling it and stuff. So yeah, it's fun
good
stuff.
Good times.
You gotta have an inflatable in your front yard.
Well, and to that end, we've all wanted to either punch in the eye Bob Ross, who Jimmy Fallon seemed to be playing.
Oh, it was He was kind of the Tahiti '80s of. You know, PBS painting experts.
Well, I mean, the point being, like, not literally. You don't literally want, A, let's not speak ill of the dead. But beyond that, like, you know, I think the idea was, like, in the sketch, he was...
Let's go back. We had two different things. We had the 11-second mashup of Adele and Lionel Richie's very, like, Hello.
Yeah.
Which is not really enough material. So... A Current Affair this week is sort of current and sort of not. It's a Jimmy Fallon sketch from September of this year that he did with Lionel Richie where he's...
A duet with Lionel Richie's head.
With Lionel Richie's head in the middle of... And I think this harkens back to the actual video back in the day when he was like sculpting a woman who I believe might have been blind.
Okay, so maybe you're explaining that. I was like, the narrative on that is weird. Like,
well, okay, yeah, we cut into it, and Jimmy Fallon is painting Lionel Richie on a canvas.
Yes, and fortunately,
and he's got Lionel Richie hair.
It's mostly complete. Well, I kind of took it as Bob Ross hair, but you're saying that
I think it was Lionel Richie 80s hair.
Okay,
and then. With the camera pans and Lionel Richie himself, who is ostensibly being sculpted, but his face works and stuff, is in the middle of a table and takes over vocal duties for a while.
And it's also like for, excuse me, for anybody who has spent any time watching Jimmy Fallon do either SNL or be on The Tonight Show or his previous show, it's like the guy is renowned for not being able to hold character.
Yeah.
Oh, and he totally breaks in the middle of this.
So he breaks in the middle of it. Lionel Richie breaks in the middle of it. And so there's a lot of like fourth wall stuff that kind of happens like inadvertently. And it just sort of it's fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bring the whole family.
Sure.
Maybe just
it's
for
family friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
It's not dick in a box.
It is not that. Anyway.
Hello.
Anyway, so who's got next week?
I think Shane does.
Okay, so.
So this empty chair right here has
Shane,
next week.
Tell us what you're going to pick for next week.
That'll be a giant mystery nugget.
Maybe that means it's air.
God, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or air supply.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll find out.
Go from one French band to another, but anyway.
Yeah, we'll find out. This is probably a good time to say that, like, if you're catching the show and if you listen to us for a while and you have a record that you want us to cover, we don't always mention this, but
we've done it before. Though.
We have done it before, and if you've got something that you want to send us that you'd like for us to take a crack at, by all means, send it to us.
Yeah.
So
we can't promise we'll do it, but we have in the past. So, like, yeah, we always like feedback and.
Anyway, we'll cover it. If you send it in to us, we'll cover it, and then we'll cover it every week after that forever.
Send it as a self-addressed stamped envelope.
All right, boys. This was a lot of fun. Until next week. For everybody, I hope you have whenever you listen to this, I hope you have a very happy.
Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy holiday season, mm-hmm. And more to come. I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm what am I? I'm Mark. I was going to say Shane. I'm Mark.
Yeah, Shane doesn't exist today.
This is Somebody Likes It.